Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Do you have a child that is extremely sensitive to various things? Do you have memories yourself of maybe precognition? Or you could see colors around people? Well, this is a subject that was taboo for a lot of years. My guest today, Tara Patterson, is a mom that has had a number of her own personal experiences and has worked a great deal with families and children who are especially talented in the areas of the development of intuition. Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I liked your introduction.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Now, Tara, I know your associate, Karen Good, and we've had a chance to talk before, but talking about intuitive children today, fortunately, we can be comfortable with the conversation. People don't shy away from it and consider it the voodoo of the hoodoo of whatever do. And I'm just so relieved at that because I think it's something that needs to be encouraged. But I want my audience to know about you and a little bit of your background. You developed a website business called justformom.com. And yes. You wanted to reach mothers out there. And you went on to, after you did that website, you did Moms in Print, a Just for Mom Foundation, and also developed the prestigious Mom Choice Awards. And you were very much involved with Chicken Soup for the Mother and Son Soul.
Yep.
And you have just done so much work in the area of intuitive development with children, and you received a parent coach certification through the Academy for Coaching Parents International, and you, and maybe it's changed, but you were the only one for a while with an accreditation for coaching parents with intuitive children, and you have been a columnist, you've got an online publication, Children of the New Earth, you have been voted as an Entrepreneur of the Year in the year 2000 by the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce and were awarded the Entrepreneur of the Year in 2003 by a Northern Virginia networking group. So you're a lady who has really been out there hustling and bustling and communicating with people, and you've gotten quite a nice bit of recognition for doing this. How in the world did you and Karen ever get together?
Really, you know, my website, Just for Mom, and she had a website, inspiredparenting.net, and that's sort of how we got together to begin with, was through the resources we had for parents. And then through conversation, we started to discuss other things. And actually, intuition became a topic of conversation pretty early on, actually. And from there, she just kind of paid attention to the way that I was parenting my children. And we just, you know, kind of went back and forth for a long time about different things that were going on and the stories. And eventually, I got my parent coach certification, and we, you know, just talked about writing this book. I've had so many experiences with my kids, and it, you know, they're undeniable experiences. And you know, with that, it's also opened up so much of my own intuitive memory and, you know, my abilities, really. And it was sort of the natural progression. But if you had asked me when I started Just for Mom if this is where I thought I would end up, I would have said, no way. I really thought that it was to empower moms to find their inner passion. And never did I expect it to become really, in a sense, about children.
Mothers are endowed with eyes in the back of their head. Every kid just about will say, oh, I don't understand how mother knows these things. Well, I firmly believe that female has been endowed with a heightened intuitive sensory system because she is the one that's the caretaker for the children most of the time. I believe men have it as well, but the female has been given this as part of her survival kit. And right at the very first part of the book, you talk about a woman by the name of Kathy, who just was aware that she needed to be with her daughter really quickly, moved so instantaneously. She was sitting down, her daughter was out playing, and her daughter ended up walking on a wall, and she was there, and she caught her daughter before she fell. Now, there is something that is there, that is a connection, that just goes into, like, fifth gear. When we know we need to do something. And I have seen this, I've experienced it, I know you've experienced it. It is there. And I think when we can talk about this so that we recognize it in our kids, what was one of your most dramatic experiences that sort of made you aware when you were talking with Karen that this was a subject area that you really needed to do more investigation into?
You know, it wasn't even so much in conversation with Karen, believe it or not. It was in a conscious interaction with my oldest son. And by that, I remember clearly some of the things that I was almost about to do with him that kind of, it made me pause. And I thought about, wait a minute, this is some of the stuff that my parents did with me when I was younger. And I didn't like it, or it didn't feel right, or they were wrong, you know, with regard to whatever. And I remember I was about to do the same things with my oldest son because, you know, we're conditioned to sort of do that. Mm-hmm. And I immediately, and I mean, kid you not, took out a pen, took like a little piece of paper, and started jotting down each time something would come up that I would realize, wait a minute, I have to shift this. And I would write them down, and I started keeping track. It's so funny, I still have this little pad. It's this skinny notebook with all these little things that I wrote down. Because what I started to realize was that I was really tuning in to and being intuitive to my son specifically, not other stuff going on around me, not stuff that I was conditioned to do, you know, by my own parenting inheritance, if you will. And that's really when it began. And you know, I would share these things with Karen, and she would encourage me to, you know, keep track of these things because I was onto something. And they're very practical things that all parents, you know, if they sat down and looked at them or read them, would say, oh, yeah. You know, like, you know, my favorite one is, you know, how when your child, you ask them to do something and they don't jump. And, you know, us as moms, because we do so many things in a day, we just want to make sure that gets checkmarked off our list. So we're quick to want to go back and say, I asked you to do this. Well, what I remembered is, when he's older and he's in the middle of doing something, do I want somebody to come along and say to him, I want you to do this right now, and have him jump? And I thought, you know, no, I don't. And part of it was intuitive myself because I remembered my husband being like that with his mother. You know, she would want him to do something and he would jump. And for the longest time, I would say, why are you doing that? You're a grown man with a family. You don't have to jump for your mother. And that's kind of, so I took all those pieces and I connected those dots. And I realized, wait a second, you know, we have to start looking at the way we parent our children differently. They're people, which my mom always told me, they're just little people. And they deserve our respect and our honor. And start thinking about what the impact will be on them later in life. Because later in life is when it's going to matter. And it's hard sometimes when they use those things against us, but we want to cultivate those strengths and those characteristics that are in them.
I agree, and I think that you've hit upon a point that's especially meaningful. Most of us have to take a route of life experience to realize that we have been programmed. And it's very unusual for most people to really sit and think about why they do certain things. And you're bringing up some very, very significant points because whatever it was that clicked inside of you said, I need to be aware of some things that I need to change. I don't need to follow a pattern. How many times have people said, gee, I didn't want to be like my dad or I didn't want to be like my mom or I didn't want to be like Aunt Ethel? And they find themselves doing the exact same thing, and they go, wait a minute, what happened to me? Where did I go wrong? And this conscious attentiveness and thinking it through, I think, is so very important, and it undoubtedly had a big impact on you and your interaction with your children.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And thinking about what you just said about, you know, that thing that we say we don't want to be like so-and-so, as soon as we put that outside of ourselves, that's exactly what we become. So for me, I started to sit back and say, okay, wait a second, what's going on inside of me? What, you know, why am I, you know, maybe reacting or, you know, doing these things? And I just had an innate ability to pull it back to me, you know, bring it back home, stop putting it out here. And it's interesting because now all of a sudden, you know, out in the community or in different kinds of group organizations, I hear people saying, you know, you're not supposed to blame your parents for X, Y, and Z, and, you know, don't blame this and don't blame that. You know, you have to bring it home. And I sit back and I think, yeah, exactly. That's what I've been saying for so long. Not that I even understood exactly what I was saying. I just knew that I had the power to shift those patterns, and it was up to me to do that. So that's really how it all began, and, you know, and now today, 12 years later, I have 4 children, and, you know, my presence with each of them as they've gotten, you know, as I've had them, you know, but at this stage is so much more, you know, it's just so wonderful because I pay attention to everything, and I get those little flutters that come up that most people wouldn't even, I'll give you, you'll laugh about this. We're cleaning out the garage for a yard sale, and I came across the scarlet letter. And it's missing the cover. So I thought, oh, I should just throw this away. But something inside of me said, hold on to it. Your son's going to need it in school. Just little things like that. You know what I mean? Because if I threw it away, I know it'll come along that they'll be reading that book, and I'll have to go out and buy a copy. And I threw it out just because the cover was missing. Little things like that.
Yes. They're very subtle. Well, too many times people will think that the intuitive process has to be very, very melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that when you're in what I call the zone, you're just there. You're moving in a rhythm that you can no more explain than a man on the moon. And whether it is writing, whether it is doing housework, whether it is dealing with critical situations in life, there is something that is not a tangible, you can't put your hand on it, but there is that flow that is emitting itself, and you're in it. And it's just amazing. I was trying to describe that to someone just a few weeks ago, and I said, when you're in that zone, everything flows smoothly. You don't find yourself battling. It flows. And it's an amazing experience. It really is. And life, in many respects, should be that way naturally.
Right.
But part of what growth is going through ups and downs in life. Now, with intuitive children, every child has their own way of expressing it. We have some parents that maybe because of their own education will say to a little one, maybe 2 or 3 years old, more like 3, when saying, do you remember where you were before you were born? Or do you remember when the first time that you talked to mom? And it's amazing what these kids will come up with, the stories. And then, you know, I mean, it's and they're not trying to push anything off of anybody. They'll just sit there and talk to you and just like, well, this is what I remember and blah, 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 blah. Oh, really? And I've known of certain parents that have been so curious that they write down the little remarks and just say, okay, that's nice. And then the kids go on about their business. They don't make a big deal out of it. But then all of a sudden, too, their children may tell them certain things. And they'll go, where'd you get that information from? Oh, I don't know. Just that. And then they go off about their business.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are in the zone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And actually, if it's nurtured, and I say this because I have a son that'll be 8 next year, and typically around this time, 7 and 8 years old, they start to get into the logical frame of thinking, and some of the intuition fades away if it's not nurtured, or in some cases for children, it could be completely just disregarded as anything. But with my younger son, my husband and I both have paid special attention to his abilities because he's exhibited them, so many of them, and since he was three, before he was 3 years old. But 3 years old was when the verbal communication and he could explain that he could see colors coming into his room and all that type of thing. But what I've noticed with him in particular is that because we on a regular basis talk with him about the other dimensions, the other worlds, he can sit down and in, you know, his heart space just tell a story about another place. Mm-hmm. And it comes out, like you said, it comes out in a flow. There's no thinking, you know, because sometimes people say it's their imagination or they're creating a story. It just comes out in such a stream of consciousness, like you and I having this conversation, that there is no question that what he is telling me is something that he knows. And it's amazing, because if he hadn't been encouraged and nurtured in that, you know, he very well may not have that stream of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been so aware of it for so many years that we pay special attention to, you know, where he's at with his gifts and his abilities, which are, you know, quite profound in a lot of ways.
I can remember when I was in the sixth grade, I had a teacher that was really, looking back on it now, this was not a very intelligent woman. She really should not have been teaching children, but she was. And I'll never forget when I was in the process of reading a story, and this was my passion, was reading, even when I was a little kid. And I had been told to read a certain chapter. We weren't to go ahead. I already knew what was going to happen in the story before we even got to a certain section. And I'll never forget how she called me a liar in front of all the students in the class because she said, well, you cheated. And I said, no, I didn't. I just read this one, and I hadn't gone ahead.
Right.
But she was asking questions, and I said, oh, well, it's this, and it's this, and it's this. And she said, you could not have known that.
Yeah. And I've heard that story, yeah.
Oh, yes, everybody, well, you know, not everybody, but many, many people had things like this happen to them. So part of what occurs is that you do shut down. And I know children are imaginative. I mean, my goodness, I can remember when my daughter would make up stories that would do great for a soap opera. I mean, it was just wonderful, but there's a difference.
Yeah,
and when you don't make a big deal out of it, and you just say, well, that's quite an interesting observation. Why did you make that observation? And you don't add anything to it, and you don't go gaga over it. You just say, that's really interesting. Tell me why you've seen this, or what do you think it is, or, you know, what's going on? Because there's so many variables with the intuitive process. Tell us how you recognized your oldest son. You were talking about him mm-hmm. and his talents, and now as he's growing older, he's sort of ignoring them because the hormones are kicking in, and he's discovering girls, and there's a whole new world out there for him. But what did you recognize with your oldest son?
He is what we call a physical intuitive. What we've done is we've taken the educational model for the whole child, and we've paired it with intuitive intelligence. So with his particular style, he's a physical intuitive, which is that his gifts are naturally through his physicality. And so very early on, I would notice different things. Let's say when school began, they would start to kind of say things like, well, maybe he had ADD, which is the favorite these days. But mm-hmm. I knew for sure that was not it at all. And we just channeled his energy. His energy comes through physically. So he's very active, very always moving. And so we would do different things for him, such as putting him in Taekwondo. When he was a little bit older, you know, we took him to a yoga class and we taught him some mental focus. And all the while, he's been a gifted baseball player. He's played since he was three. He now plays on an all-star team and a travel team and, you know, whatnot. But what we needed to do for him was to channel his physical energy. I mean, that's what I liken it to. We all have these different intuitive styles and these different ways that we manage our energy. For him, if he's physically moving, he's getting it out of him. If he's sitting still or if he's not, you know, able to talk, okay, so that's how he gets it out in school, in middle school. But, you know, he's constantly got to be moving the energy through. And he's done extremely well, both with, you know, sports and even in school. There's no sign of him struggling. He can sit down and take a standardized test and do well. He doesn't have any of those issues. There's no attention issue. We just needed to teach him how to manage his energy through physical activity.
You have a story in your book about Maria. And when she was young, she was about 11 years old, she became aware that she was very sensitive to seeing certain things, and mm-hmm. she was visiting her grandfather,
mm-hmm.
and she was very accomplished as a writer, and being with him just absolutely brought her a lot of joy. But she began to talk to him this one summer, and according to the story that you share in your book, Raising Intuitive Children, she happened to look at him when he was unaware of her observation, and she began to see a white figure behind her grandfather, and she knew intuitively that her grandfather was going to die soon, that this was a guardian that was mm-hmm. with him. And she said whenever she saw, she described him as angels, I use the word guardian, it was as if she was being shown that this person was getting ready to make their transition, and there was nothing for her to be worried about it. And she said she never felt sad over his death because she had seen this. And I thought, what a wonderful gift and what a wise child at the age of 11 to have this understanding. Most adults don't have it, but this is a youngster 11. Now, Maria, how old was she when you found out about this story?
Oh goodness, in her 50s, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
she's in her 50s now.
How did this, here is this story, and of course if she's in her 50s now, she had this experience at 11, did she share it with anybody in her family?
No, I don't believe at that time she did. She was raised in a very Catholic family. They were a very religious, you just didn't talk about things, you didn't talk out of tongue, I guess would be a good way to put it. And
right.
So no, she didn't. I believe she found a teacher at some point along the way that encouraged her creativity. And so that was a way for her to continue, and the writing was a way for her to continue in the creativity. And that's really what we would call a creative intuitive style, is somebody who finds a way to channel what they're experiencing through something like art or music or writing. And
mm-hmm.
that's how she went on to do that. But on the other...
Go ahead.
But, the other issue in a lot of instances, now in that circumstance, Maria did well and thrived and prospered through her writing, but if a child doesn't have an outlet like that, it really becomes a disconnect from the world around them, and it can make it a very difficult struggle through life.
Yes, mm-hmm. A very difficult struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the artistic expression. I think... if you, and this is something that as a parent I found very useful, and when I employed it, it just gave me a tremendous insight to a lot of things, and I encourage parents to look at this, and that is, with your children, if you encourage them to do art, watch the colors they use,
mm-hmm.
see what they do, ask them to draw out their feelings, whether they're a Michelangelo or not doesn't make any difference. It'll really give you an insight as to what's going on in their heads, whether they're happy, sad. You will find that the expressions that they bring out in their artwork are just absolutely awesome. And I think that music, that anything that allows a youngster to freely express their thoughts, their concerns, that is absolutely liberating for the development of the intuitive self. Now, I know we are just about out of time, Tara.
Mm, I know.
It goes by so fast. And talking about the kids is so important, because we need to remember, even as adults, there's the child within all of us, that if this is a part of someone's experience and somebody slapped them down verbally or in any other way, saying this is stupid, it doesn't make sense, it's not logical, you need to know it is. And when you can take a child and encourage them, like you've done with your children, I think it's absolutely marvelous. Tara, you have two websites that people can go to. Would you tell us what those websites are so that families can check them out?
Sure can. I have parentingintuitives.com. And also raisingintuitivechildren.com. And I do teach a Parenting Well Using Your Intuition teleclass on Monday nights, so they can find out about that. And I also have a great, it's called Radical Parenting Using Your Intuition webinar available. And those can be found there and also on justformom.com. So if people want to check
Wonderful.
That out, it's all there.
Well, I think your book, Raising Intuitive Children, it really gives an opportunity for families who maybe they've had their own experiences, maybe they have a child that's talking to them about things, and they just go, oh, my good, too many Harry Potterbooks, you know. This is, got to get rid of this stuff. But the truth is, you don't want to discourage imagination in children. You don't want to discourage the creativity. What would you like to close out our program with today, our conversation? What would you like to leave in the way of a thought with my listeners?
Well, you know, through our conversation, this occurred to me. You know, parents tend to think that there's a one-way, you know, way for things to be. Like if kids are a certain age, they're supposed to play sports or they're supposed to do that. My recommendation for parents is to get them into something that you know, might be physical and athletic for a little bit of, you know, that type of thing, but also find out what they might like that is artistic. I think you made a really good point when you said the artwork and the colors. I think that all children like something in the line of an art or a music or something like that, and I think you need to pair the two and give them those opportunities so that they can express themselves until, you know, they show you what their real desire and intuitive talent is. So that's kind of what I wanted to finish with. So thank you very much.
You are very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. My guest today has been Tara Patterson, a mother of four, and she strongly believes in supporting the intuitive process in children. Raising Intuitive Children is the name of the book, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. Co-author is Karen Good. And don't forget, parentingintuitives.com, raisingintuitivechildren.com. More information on both of those sites. Again, thank you, Tara. This is
Donna
Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to chat with me, I'd be delighted to do exactly that with you. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's our worldwide toll-free number, and we'll be able to chat with you right away. Now, I just heard a beep, but I don't know if somebody's on the line. Somebody on the line? I don't think so. Okay, 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time caller, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, just let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. You know, when we were talking, Tara Patterson and I, on just a few minutes ago about intuition, I wanted to share with you a point of information that was printed in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine, and this came out in 2004. Our mind and bodies are hardwired for intuition, as some research has discovered. This report says the study results of electrophysiological evidence of intuition, part one, the surprising role of the heart. The reported results follow. The main findings in relation to the heart's role in intuitive perception are: one, the heart appears to receive and respond to intuitive information. Two, a significantly greater heart rate deceleration occurred prior to future emotional stimuli compared to calm stimuli. Three, there were significant gender differences in the processing of pre-stimulus information. More and more, there are those people in the area of science that have opened up their minds and their own awareness because of their own experiences. Albert Einstein had them. There's just been so many people in the scientific arena that I have had conversations with that, because of particular professional paradigms that have been put in place, they didn't want to be blacklisted. So they sort of got involved in the investigation of the intuitive self on the sidelines, underneath, you might say, the shades of shadows, so that nobody would be able to label them and they could still be considered professional scientists. Well, fortunately, in today's world, we are evolving where we're understanding that the intuitive process is as normal and natural as breathing. Some people may have a greater degree of talent and capability, but it's there. It belongs to everyone. And many times, and I say this even for myself, it takes a lot of work and discipline to be able to refine and develop skills. It just doesn't happen, period, overnight. A lot of people like to think it does, but if you're going to use it in life, you have to pay attention to it. So I wanted to share that bit of information with you because I think it is quite significant. And there's some wonderful stories in the book, Raising Intuitive Children. And some of you who maybe have felt like you've had to stay in the closet in your own environment and not tell people what you see or what you feel, or maybe you've had dreams that you just don't know exactly what to do with. This is something that when you can write it out, or if you seek out groups, books, tapes, anything that allows you to understand the language where people, when they're talking about the intuitive processes, can make you feel more comfortable, that is so important. It helped me so very, very much when I started this work in my 20s, and I was fortunate enough to have a very, very fine mentor that sort of gave me an insight into myself, and I only knew her for a year and a half before she passed away. However, in that year and a half, she gave me a foundation groundwork that has actually stood in very good stead with me throughout my entire life. And I would encourage any of you that are interested in this, don't be afraid. We've got so many wonderful people out there. Each of them will have their own way of describing their experience or what they feel is their understanding. And it may or may not click with you. That's all right. The key is for you to know that this is a part of life. It is not separate out there somewhere in the universe. It's right here, right now, within you as an individual. And it can be used very, very well as a wonderful, wonderful tool. So I encourage you, don't be afraid to explore. That's one of the joys that I've had when I've taught classes, is being able to show people how absolutely painless this is and how intriguingly fascinating it is to be able to recognize that you have this kind of capability within yourself. And when you can recognize it and respect it in yourself, you can't help but recognize and respect it in other people. And children are someone, well, they're those that when they tell you their stories, you're not going to laugh at them, you're not going to make fun of them. You're going to say, that's very interesting. Why is that important to you? And maybe you'll help a child be able to develop their own processes in a very comfortable and natural way. I want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up this week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about healing young brains. Ed Castro is my guest. He has been on my show a number of years ago, but his research is important. We have become a society overall where we seem to think that drugs fix everything. They don't. They actually compound problems. And with children, it really is something that you have to be exceptionally careful about because they've got young bodies, they're developing, and you never know how this is going to affect them for the rest of their life. Well, we're going to be talking about how to work with a young child's brain. If you know of a child that's having functional disabilities in any way, there may be an option that you had not considered. So we're going to be talking about that. And then one of my favorite people, Teresa Tapp, Fit Fabulous in 15 minutes. She's going to be on with us on Thursday. Oh, wow, has she got a lot to share. Good things happening. And I'll tell you what, the process really works. And then a woman on Friday from Korea will be getting that telephone call. Her name is Jen Robinson. And Jen has a story to share. It's going to be coming out in a book, perhaps this year. And I had the privilege of reviewing the upcoming manuscript. And I thought, this is a woman I really need to interview on the air because she has gone through barriers in life, discrimination, all kinds of things, to emerge with, I think, a level of success that is absolutely incredible. So she's an inspiration for all of us. So we have a very dynamic week, and I want to invite you and tell your friends, tell them that they can join us and can enjoy these wonderful people that have so many special things to share. I also wanted to give out the number again, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you would like to chat with me today. Also, between 5 and 6 Pacific time, I'm going to be on air with Monique Chapman on Achieve Radio. So if you are in an area of the country and you'd like to call in, go to AchieveRadio.com and you'll find Monique's show, Walking with Spirit, and so we're going to be on the air from 5 to 6, and perhaps you'll be able to join us then as well. Security is something we all have an interest in. If you're like me in your home, you have deadbolt locks on your door, but I was really surprised when I came across the information that a $3 will open just about any door with a conventional pin tumbler lock. $3, that's all it takes. All you need is a special bump key, which people are able to get on the internet. I have never heard of a bump key. Well, your education is always expanding. Say you learn something new every day. Well, I learned something new here, and I wanted to share it with you because I think it's significant. There is a security expert, Mark Weber Tobias, that said these keys are legal and they are simple to produce. He said a 15-year-old kid can do it and it's almost impossible to prevent their distribution or use. So if you're like me and you go, whoa, this type of a situation, what options do you have? Well, he said you want to make sure wherever you're living you've got ample light. But also there are two particular high security locks, and there may be more, but these are two that he spoke of. Quickset Smart Key, a $30 lock, or the Schlage Premise, which is $75 to $100. So what you might want to do is talk to a locksmith and see what they would recommend and maybe have that change done if you do not have that, you know, on your lock system at this time. It's a shame we have to live that way. I was visiting some people when I was on my business trip back east, and they lived in an area of country. I said, don't you lock your doors? No, don't worry about that. Interesting. I'm hearing another beep. Do we have a caller? Nope, I guess it's just one of those energy burps that comes on. Anyway, that's some information on the home security alert. Oh, and don't forget, for those of you that haven't switched over to the digital, there is a place that you can check out for a coupon, a $40 off coupon. You're entitled to two per family. If you need a converter box, if you haven't yet gotten yours, you can go to dtv2009.gov before July 31st to get this coupon. Again, you get two per family. And they expire 90 days after they're mailed. So go to that website, dtv2009.gov. Before July 31st, so you can get that coupon. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. For those of you in the state of Washington, there's going to be a special opportunity to get some free tickets to the Washington Renaissance State Fair. Yes, now this is going to be coming up in August, and I'm going to be participating in it, and I am just really excited. We are going to be able to give away some free tickets, so if you are in the state of Washington and you want to attend this wonderful event, beware that after the 1st of July, I'm going to be giving you information on how you can get those free tickets. And that will be coming up. My goodness, it's hard to believe that July is just around the corner. Well, the temps are warming up. Oh, it feels so good to have the warmer temperatures of summer come along. And one of the favorite meals we all enjoy are salads. And what makes a salad good? Well, I'll tell you what. It's usually the dressing, isn't it? The ingredients are fine. But I had a very dear friend, Robert, who many years ago, he said he always liked a little salad with his dressing. So many of us, when we're eating a salad, if we have one of those real, real rich dressings, we feel very guilty afterwards because we know we've just consumed a lot of calories. Well, how about a salad dressing made with honey and some Dijon mustard and a few other ingredients? And it's just going to give that salad a wonderful flavor, but it's not going to pack on the pounds because of the high calorie level. So let me just share this watercress and radicchio salad with a honey mustard vinaigrette. This is just great. Now, this is all you're going to need. You need 2 tablespoons of red or white wine vinegar, and you need 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, and depending on what kind you like, it can give you another flavor. You need 1/2 teaspoon of minced garlic, and that should be fresh minced garlic, 1/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of olive oil. 1/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of olive oil. And then, of course, about 6 cups of watercress. And you want to remove the stems off the watercress because they can be tough sometimes. And then 3 cups of lightly packed torn radicchio and 1/4 cup of sliced almonds. And you can toast those and they just add that extra bit of flavor. So to make this wonderfully, wonderfully light dressing, you just whisk your vinegar, your honey, your mustard, and garlic in a large bowl, and you whisk that together very quickly, and then your oil you add gradually in a stream, and then season it with a little bit of salt and freshly ground pepper, and you just mix those greens. And if you don't like radicchio, all of us have our own particular taste, but whatever you like in the way of salad, then go ahead and add it there. But if you have just greens, you're really going to get the taste of this honey mustard vinaigrette. If you add tomatoes to it, the tomatoes may create a different type of a taste with it. But, oh, it is delicious, it is healthy, and it is just going to keep that slim waistline right the way you want it to be, and you're just going to feel so satisfied. It's a wonderful, wonderful vinaigrette, the honey mustard vinaigrette to use. Honey is something that people for centuries have used as a sweetener. And one of my favorite ways of using honey is in butter. And I was introduced to honey butter many years ago in a restaurant that had the most delicious cornbread you could ever want. I believe it was a Marie Callender's restaurant in California. And, of course, I think they make one of the best batches of cornbread you could ever put in your mouth. And that comes with the honey butter. And it's just wonderful. Well, you can make your own honey butter. It's really, really easy. You just take a stick of room temperature butter, or however much you want, and add 3 to 4 tablespoons of honey to that 1/4 pound of butter. So if you're going to have a big crowd and you're going to be using a lot of honey butter, then obviously you would just adjust the amount accordingly. But if you just want it for yourself, for your family, you're just having a small group, 1 stick of butter, 3 to 4 tablespoons of honey. And if you want to have a little bit of something extra special, add 1 pinch or 2 of cinnamon to that. Just gives it a wonderful, wonderful flavor. And then what about a barbecue sauce? Honey is fabulous in barbecue sauces. Make up your own. 1/4 to 1/3 cup of honey. You put it into a small can, mix it into a small can, a 6-ounce can of tomato paste. And then you can add 1 to 2 teaspoons of prepared mustard. Add a little bit of Worcestershire, if you like, or soy sauce. And whatever you need to do to thin it, just add a little water if you want just a thinner barbecue sauce. Easy, simple, economical. And we're all interested in saving our pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollars today. Also, another way of using honey is to create a honey mustard sandwich spread. And that's 1/4 cup of prepared mustard, 1 tablespoon of honey, and 1 tablespoon of mayo. If you got something different, great with ham, turkey, absolutely awesome. And then if you wanted a special peanut dip, kids are going to love this, especially for vegetables. Take a little peanut butter, bit a little broth or hot water, whatever you want to use to thin it, and then sweeten it with honey. And for adults, you might want to add some soy sauce and red pepper flakes or Asian chili sauce to taste. Mm-hmm. Yum. And did you know that if you want your muffins that you make at home to have a nice crust on it, baste the muffins right out of the oven with your honey. It's going to give it a beautiful glaze. And there's just so many different things that you can do. Honey on grapefruit halves. Put it under the broiler. Oh, just golden brown. Sweetens it. The sweet-sour flavor is awesome. And you can just do all kinds of things with it. It's a marvelous, marvelous food. And it's been around as long as those happy little bees have been making it, and we have been harvesting it from them. It's really great. This is Donna Sebo, and if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. By the way, I am appreciating the stories that you're sending to me, and I want to say give me some time because I'm getting through them, and as I can, and when it's opportune, I will be sharing them. I had a story that, actually, it's a cute little story. It's from Katie Adams. She said she was on the computer in her home office when her 8-year-old son asked what she did for a living. "I'm a consultant," Katie said. Her child asked, "What's a consultant?" She said, "It's someone who watches people work and then tells them how they could do it better." And he thought about that for a moment, and he looked at his mom, and he said, "We have people like that in my class, but we call them pests." Out of the mouth of babes. It's just terrific. Donna Sebo, give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Don't forget, this evening I'm going to be live with Monique Chapman on Walking with Spirit, and you can go into AchieveRadio.com, and we'll be on live from 5 to 6 Pacific time. So that will be 7 to 8 Central. If you're Mountain, it's 6 to 7 your time. Central, 7 to 8, and East Coast, 8 to 9. So you'll be able to be on the air with me live there as well. Walking with Spirit, Monique Chapman is just a delightful gal, and I'm so pleased to have the opportunity to be able to be on the air with her. Want to make yourself trimmer and healthier? Well, that seems to be a major goal, especially when the summer months come around, because we want to be in those summer clothes. We've worn all the heavy stuff all winter long, trying to keep warm, and now that the sun's out, we want it light. Well, of course, like clothing, we're going to want to look as best as we possibly can, especially in those bathing suits. But, you know, really, if you really want to look good, do something that's a lot of fun for you. If you want to stay fit, of course, we're going to be talking about T-Tap this week, which toned me up over 25 inches. I just am thrilled with that result. But being involved in something, dancing, whatever is your joy, that gets you out of doors and active. I just love seeing all the people out walking, whether they're walking with their dogs like we do every day with our two little Scotties, Kinsey and Victor. But it's walking and just enjoying it. And I see so many people who have a buddy that they're working with, and that's absolutely awesome. So remember, exercise doesn't have to be something that's tedious. Lots of people like using weights, but do you know that they have found when people imagine using weights, if you close your eyes and just imagine doing certain exercises with weights, it actually tones muscles and improves your strength. There's a Cleveland Clinic that visualized exercising certain muscles, and the strength of the people participating in the study increased by an impressive 13% in just 12 weeks. Just imagining running stimulates the same muscles and burns calories without, they say, ever getting off the couch. When you simply picture yourself exercising, it causes micro-movements in your muscles, so slight you may not notice them, but they add up to big results, and it also triggers production of testosterone and growth hormone, both crucial for muscle strength. Get yourself in shape. Look good for summer. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking time now, saying goodbye, but we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.